You're listening to the Cornerstone Family Worship Center podcast. Making disciples, building community, and growing together in faith and love.
I'll get there sooner or later. Praise the Lord. Alrighty. Well, we're finishing up our Christmas series today. And the series was Christmas, the Celebration of Christ's Birth. And this is part four of that series. Amen. We've talked about the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God that we celebrate in the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you know him today, then you know love and you know joy and you know peace. If you do not know him personally today, then you can know love, joy, and peace before you leave this place this morning. Amen. So today the text is going to be from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. And it's just a one-liner. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the unspeakable gift of your Son that you gave to us, salvation through his blood and through his name and through your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the gift we have today. We thank you for your word, and we pray that that word will be mixed with faith in our hearts, that we'll be believers of what you've said and what you've declared. And we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We celebrate Christmas because we are thankful unto God for the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ. We thank God for his plan of salvation. Amen. Which centers around this child that was born, and he was born to die for the sins of the world. That was God's plan. He planned it. He intended for that to happen. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John refers to Christ as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. How could Jesus have been slain before the foundation of the world? Well, that's just a phrase and a statement making us to know that God had this plan from the get-go, that his Son would be slain for the sins of the world, and that through him being slain, we would be able to be reconciled back unto our Creator. Amen. So we're thankful today for the gift of God's Son. Amen. Peter says this, confirming what the Apostle John said as well, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He was manifest, meaning that he took upon flesh and blood, and he was manifest to the world so that the world could see the glory of the Father. Amen. In Jesus Christ. one of the scriptures that we're reminded of at Christmas time is Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And it says there, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. So this is God speaking through the prophet. So it's as if God is saying these words. Out of thee, Bethlehem, shall he, the Messiah, come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Wow. That's a mouthful right there, that statement right there, that the one that was going to be born was from everlasting. So he always was. That's why David called him Lord, you know. He referred to the coming Christ as his Lord. Amen. So that was in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. So we celebrate this unspeakable gift by being thankful for it. Thank God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. And then we celebrate Christmas because God gave to us an unspeakable gift. Talking about the unspeakable part of that verse right now. Unspeakable meaning not fully able to expound, indescribable, sublime, transcendent, meaning that it is too high or too lofty for us to fully comprehend. I'm glad that we have comprehended Christ thus far in our lives. I'm glad that we've been able to comprehend what it means to be born again, what it means to be saved, what it meant that he came into the world to die for the sins of the world. I'm glad that we're able to comprehend that. And that's just step one in a wonderful life with Christ. However long we live on this earth, we enter into salvation with him, but from that point forward, we grow in our understanding of him, in the depth of his love. We continue to mature in Christ. But the most mature person in the world right now still cannot comprehend the fullness of it all. In this finite little mind, we can't grasp it. It's an unspeakable gift. Indescribable. I love trying to describe it to people, though. Amen. I love trying to describe to people how God filled my heart with his love through Jesus Christ. How I have peace today in my heart because of Jesus Christ. And we try to describe that to people in so many words, you know. I remember the first words that I tried to describe this to my best friend. I grabbed him by the shirt collar and told him he needed Jesus. You know, he thought I was a nutcase, you know. You need to know Christ. And as some of you know, I said to him, Jesus is coming soon, and you better get ready. And I got saved, as you know, I told you, on December 13th, 46 years ago. And I said, Jesus is coming soon, and you better get ready. You better be ready. I want you to be ready. You're my friend. He says, well, how soon is soon? I said, probably before Christmas. Hi-yi-yi. Well, that's the zeal of a new believer trying to say to someone else this unspeakable gift of God. Words can't describe it. I'm basically saying, hey, Dewey, you need to have this love that's filling my heart right now. You need to know this peace that I found in Christ. All of these other goofy things we're doing, it's not going to bring us any lasting peace. You need Jesus. Undescribable. It's undescribable. Who can describe this? Do you have any stories like that of friends that you tried to tell about Jesus that just kind of looked at you like you had a screw loose? Called you a Jesus freak or something other than that? A religious nutcase or something? Amen. And yet you're just trying to describe to them the wonderful love of God. So it's higher than our minds can comprehend, the plan of God, the plan of salvation. It's more than our finite brains can even grasp. Amen. Who could have come up with such a plan but God himself? Amen. Who could have fulfilled it but the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Who could have fulfilled this but Christ himself? Let me give you another couple of favorite scriptures that we hear a lot around Christmas time. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and Isaiah 9, verse 6. Chapter 7, verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. Isaiah 9, 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall, in his name, shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We talked about that last week when we talked about the peace that God was going to bring to all those who would have it through Christ. It's the only way that we could find that kind of peace. Amen. And there are literally hundreds of prophecies. I love the Bible because one of the reasons is because of the prophecies that we find in the Bible. So many precise predictions that God spoke through men, there's no possibility that it could be known by men unless God had revealed it to them. And that's what many prophecies show us and speak to us about the authenticity of the scriptures, about the reliability of the holy word of God that we have. Church, you don't have to take a back seat to anybody in this world when it comes to, evolution and all of these theories that men have and so-called science and all of this stuff. Put your faith in this book right here. And what this book says, you'll come out on top every time. Because this word here cannot be refuted. It cannot be refuted. And the prophecies are one of the things that show the power of this word and the authenticity of it. And there are, as I said, literally hundreds of prophecies concerning the Messiah that would come into the world to be a sacrifice for the sins of the world. There are, and I haven't counted them myself, I'm going by other scholars and theologians who did do all the counting. But they say that there are over 300 prophecies concerning just Christ alone. And most of those 300 have been fulfilled in his first coming. Awesome. One person. That there would be a great... Here are just some of those prophecies, and I don't have the scriptures written down for you. I'm just going to mention some of the things that were predicted precisely. And we don't have the time to go through each and every one of them and to read each scripture. But here are some of them. That there would be a great slaughter of children at the time of his birth. And we know that Herod sent throughout the land to kill every child that was 2 years old and under. Amen? That the Messiah would be tempted by Satan, but he would not sin. And this is, we have the testimony of Jesus that he did not sin. That soldiers would gamble for his robe when he was being crucified. That he would enter into Jerusalem riding on a donkey and the people would worship him. That he would be rejected by his own people. That he would be betrayed by one of his followers with 30 pieces of silver. That's a pretty precise prophecy. That this Messiah will come into the world. He'll be born of a virgin. He'll be born in Bethlehem. All of these little details about one person. Who could fulfill this? Who could possibly fulfill this? But the Messiah that these prophets were speaking of. Amen. And that one of his followers, one who actually followed him, would turn against him and betray him by 30 pieces of silver. Now, if Judas would have received 20 pieces of silver, that wouldn't have been a fulfillment of the prophecy. If Judas would have received 35 pieces of silver, that wouldn't have been a precise prediction. But one man, Judas, turned against Christ and betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. How could somebody know hundreds of years before this ever happened, but God himself? And how could that one person be anybody else other than who God said he would be? Oh, hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about when you view prophecy. And anybody who's an honest researcher who would look into the Word of God and study those prophecies with an open mind, they will come away a believer. Amen. And we have plenty of contemporaries and people in the past who have been atheists, non-believers in God at all, and who have come to faith in Christ because of that, because of an honest look at the Word of God, because of an honest research of these prophecies and of what the Word says. Hal Lindsey, the guy who wrote the late great Planet Earth, was an atheist, tried to prove that the Bible was wrong. But he was honest about it, and he was open about it. Every time that he found something that contradicted what he believed, he said, wow, and one after one, another after another after another, until he finally came to the conclusion, this book is real. This is the Word of God. Amen. C.S. Lewis was a non-believer, came unto Christ through the Word of God. Amen. Lee Strobel, another guy who was a journalist, atheist. They got a movie about him, a contemporary movie about his life right now. Atheist. Came to Christ. How? Because his wife became a believer, and he thought she was a cracked pot. He thought she just lost her marbles. And so he tried to prove her religion wrong, as a journalist is supposed to do, not like the journalists we have today, so-called journalists. They want to shape everything and put their beliefs in it and make it be this or that. But as a journalist is supposed to do, why, what, where, how, when, those questions, asking them honestly. Lee Strobel went about that as an atheist, was honest about his findings, became a believer in Christ, and is an apologist today for the Christian faith. Josh McDowell, atheist, grew up in a home where his dad was an alcoholic, used to beat him and just abuse the family. So much so that Josh, this is part of his testimony, that Josh one time, because relatives were coming over for a holiday or a gathering or whatever, his dad got drunk beforehand. He went and took his dad out in the barn and tied him up so he couldn't get out there and mess up the gathering. So that's the kind of upbringing that he had, and he became an atheist. He went to the University of Michigan, an avowed atheist. And he sought to prove the Word of God to be wrong and to be faulty. But he did it honestly. And as he did, one scripture after another confirmed. And he came out with a book early on, thank you very much. I knew that guy could help me out. Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Evidence That Demands a Verdict. In other words, when you compile all of this evidence together, it demands a verdict. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to be a believer or not? And so all of these people all became believers because of the Word of God and the authenticity of it. Another prophecy, I'm getting off track a little bit, but another prophecy that he would go through a mockery of a trial and that he would be condemned, that he would be mocked and spat upon, that he would stand before his accusers and not defend himself, that he would be crucified, that his hands and his feet would be pierced. However, another prophecy predicts that not one of his bones would be broken. And this is something that was common practice during an execution, like Jesus went through a crucifixion. They would break the bones or break the legs of one being crucified to speed the process up a little bit. Though he was pierced, his bones were not broken. Pretty precise wording there. Amen? That he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. These are all things that would have been out of the control of a man trying to manipulate all these things and make it appear that he was the guy. Nobody could do that. Nobody could possibly do that. How could he have control over being born in Bethlehem? How could he have control over the slaughter of innocent children? He would be raised from the dead, and he would ascend into heaven and be seated at the right hand of his Father. All of these put together are certainly unspeakable, indescribable, beyond the comprehension of our finite brains. Amen? I looked up the chances of a person winning the Powerball lottery. Anybody open to that? I don't know if you ever bought a lottery ticket or not. I have not bought one, but I've had people buy one for me. Said, Pastor Mike, I hope you win. Okay, that's cool. I hope I do too. But I also know Christian people who have bought a ticket or two along the way, and I've known some that have even hit and won some money through it, you know. But so I'm not here to talk about that one way or another. But just listen to this. I looked up the chances of a person winning the Powerball lottery. 175 million to 1. Now, we can't say that a person would never, ever win at those odds, right? Because there's a winner every now and then. But stop and think about that. 175 million people out there, or 175 million chances out there, and you have this one opportunity, maybe you might be the winner. So I would suggest that that's not something that you would take a lot of your paycheck and spend trying to be that one. I wouldn't sell the farm for that. I wouldn't give up your house for that. I wouldn't risk your family for that, that you might be that one. But there could be one in that 175 million. In other words, there is a slight chance that anyone could win this. But what would be the chances that anyone but the promised Messiah could fulfill all of the prophecies concerning him? Now that's a different story. And here are some of the words for very large numbers that we find. And if you're wondering how to form other huge numbers like this, here's the pattern. 1,000 thousands is 1,000,000. 1,000 millions is 1,000,000,000. 1,000 billions is 1,000,000,000,000. That's already getting way up there. So most of us can't comprehend numbers like that. But we're $20 trillion in debt right now as a country. So I just heard somebody say you could pay $1 million a day for so many years and still not pay off this debt. I forgot the exact figures on that one. But 1,000 trillions is 1 quadrillion. And 1,000 quadrillions is 1 quintillion. And these names keep going on. Sextillion, blah, 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 on and on and on. But when mathematicians get up to these kinds of numbers, they use what is called exponents. So a quintillion, which is where we left off, would be the number 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now that helps you to understand it a little more, doesn't it? Not really. We've never seen figures like that. A 10 with 18 zeros behind it is a quintillion. So a quintillion would be said this way, that it would be 10 to the 18th power. That's how you would say that term, which means 10 with 18 zero behind it. This is the number that represents the odds of any one person fulfilling, listen up now, fulfilling just 8 of the prophecies concerning Christ's life. 8 prophecies, and we're already up to 10 with 18 zeros behind it. That's the odds. Amen. Now, this has all been factored by mathematicians that have done this and studied this. But the number that represents the odds that any one person could fulfill 48. How many did I say that there were of Christ? Was anybody listening to my sermon up to this point? 300. Over 300 prophecies concerning Jesus, and most of them, we're talking about a couple of hundred of them probably, have already been fulfilled at the first coming of Christ. Okay, I just wanted to reiterate that to you, right? Hundreds of prophecies, just like these ones that I went through with you. Precise predictions. Now, the chances of any one person fulfilling 48, just 48 such prophecies would be 10 to the 157th power. What does that mean? 10 with 157 zeros behind it. If you were reading a pocketbook, you would be flipping through several pages of zeros just to see what that number even looks like. Amen. This is an unspeakable gift that God has given to us. It's incomprehensible. It's something that we can't get the full grasp of this with our finite brains. Amen. 157 zeros after that 10. Amen. That's awesome. So in other words, what the mathematicians are basically saying, nobody could fulfill this. The chances of that being anybody other than the one who they were meant to be for, zilch. That number is so high that it's, you know, if you were a smart person, you would never play a lottery like that. I don't care if it only cost you a penny for the ticket, because here's the facts. You ain't going to win. We celebrate the birth of Christ because the unspeakable gift that God has given us. We're celebrating this because of the unspeakable gift. Christmas is known for a time of giving and receiving gifts. It's a time when people right now are either shopping and buying gifts for their loved ones, and all of this because we think of the gift that God has given to us, and we celebrate it in this way. It's a tradition that has gone on for ever since the birth of Christ, the giving of gifts and the receiving of gifts. For a gift to really be a gift, there needs to be a giver and there needs to be a receiver. Because if not, it's just an object just sitting there. If I give Mary a gift, it's in my hand until I give it to her. When I give it to her and she reaches out and receives it, it's a gift and she's received a gift. By the way, you're not getting one this Christmas. We drew names. I didn't get yours. I usually have broken that rule in times past, but I'm not going to do it this year. But for a gift to really be a gift, there needs to be a gift, a giver, and a receiver. Amen. What would you think if you gave someone a very costly gift, wrapped in a nice package, and they just sat there and they looked at the box and they never opened it? How would that make you feel? Well, you didn't have to be so blunt, but I got you. Got your drift. Yeah, you'd feel really bad about that. This cost you something. You went scurrying around. You went looking for the right gift. You came and you brought the perfect gift. And you presented it to someone, and they just looked at the box. Your heart would go, pfft. That's what God has done. He has given a gift. It's an unspeakable gift. He has given it to us. Here you're all excited about them opening the gift and what you brought for them, but they don't open it up. They really had no interest in what was even inside the package. Yet God Almighty has given this world the greatest gift that He could have ever given to us, His Son. Amen. His own son, Jesus, born of a virgin, as we looked at. He lived and walked among us as God in the flesh. He died on a cross to save us. He was raised from the dead, ascended up into heaven. And we have a promise that He is coming again very soon. I'm not going to say by Christmas, because I've learned better since then. I've not let my zeal get ahead of me, ahead of my brain. But God does give us some signs and some indicators to watch for the second coming of Christ. And I would say this, anybody who looked at all of these prophecies, and even if they came to the conclusion that, yeah, all of those prophecies bear out right, and they look good as far as the first coming of Christ, I agree with that. I would say that person, if they came even that far, they probably ought to believe what he said about his future. About the future of this world and about the future of us. Amen. That he is coming back, and he's going to come back and he's going to judge the world. He will judge this world. And we have promises. We have predictions. We have prophetic utterances that God spoke to men and they wrote them down concerning the second coming. Why would you not believe those words and those promises as well as the other ones that have come to pass? Amen. Do you realize that this gift of salvation that God has given to us, the prophets who prophesied them, didn't even get to see them fulfilled in their lifetimes? Think about that. They gave these promises, and they were all looking for them to come to pass, and everybody that heard them speak those prophecies, they were saying, oh, where? When is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? Just like we are right now about the second coming. Wonder when it's going to happen. I wonder if it could be today. And so they were always watching forward, looking forward to his first coming. But it says that many of the prophets, they prophesied these things, and yet they did not get a chance to see him. And I said, as we were worshiping there, and Rachel opened up with a word of prayer. See, Rachel and I, we talk these things over before church. We have a very definite plan of what we're going to say and how we're going to present our songs and how it's going to blend into the sermon and all of that. Not. We don't. But as you were up there and you were opening up in prayer and you said something about, and we have this wonderful salvation. Lord, it was your prayer. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful salvation that you have given to us, that even the angels, what did you say?
They don't comprehend it. They don't know him like we know him.
Like we know him. And so as she's praying that, I'm praying here and Mary's praying here. I says, oh, she's stealing my sermon. Mary heard me. You know, she giggled. We didn't talk it over. But God, I believe, is trying to drive something home to all of us. Listen to this. Even the angels. Look at what you and I have. Doesn't say that they're jealous, but it says that there was a desire for them to be able to know the things that we know of salvation, and they can't know that. Woo! That's good. That's good. We could preach that just for an hour right now, but I know you guys want to go home somewhere along the line. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12 says this. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired. I don't know, I don't have this one up on the thing. So just listen, or if you got your Bibles with you, which I would recommend you bring your Bibles to church with you, just in case the computer goes down, you can't follow along on the screen. But this is what it says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. And if you don't have your Bible, you can write this down and look it up later, because I just want to let you know I'm not lying to you here this morning. It says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Hallelujah. I don't know if the angels are always well, I believe that the scripture bears it out. They're singers and they're worshipers of God even now, and they will worship him again in the future. But there's one song that they will not be able to sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. They will never be able to sing that song. They won't be able to join into that because they don't know what, and they don't understand anything about this salvation that you have. It's unique for just for you and for human beings to be saved, to be delivered from our sins. Amen. We celebrate this birth because it affords us a second birth. We celebrate his birth because it affords us a second birth. I remember years ago somebody coined this phrase and says, hey, if being born hasn't given you much satisfaction in life, try being born again. Ha ha! If being born hasn't brought you anything but tragedy and misery and discomfort and disease and sickness and bondage and chains, if that's all that this first birth of yours has brought, then try being born again. Because the shackles will come off. The chains will come off. You'll find deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things that are holding you, those things that are in your mind and in your heart that nobody else knows about, that you don't share with the rest of the world, that those things that you're carrying as a burden, God will come into your heart, wash your heart clean, and make you new, make you whole. You can be born again. How many people in this world just say, man, if I just had another chance, boy, if I could just do it all over again. How many people are in jails right now today who would say, man, if I just had it all to do over again? Amen. So many people in the world would say make that same statement. If only I could go over and do it all again. Well, being born again does not allow you to actually go back and have a redo. You know what I'm saying? What's been done has been done. If you're divorced and remarried, you can't be looking back there. You got to look where you are right now. Hello? Amen. Because what has happened in the past does not dictate to you what's going to go on in your future. Amen. And so God has a plan for all of us, and all we need to do is just fit right into it. And we can be born again. We can't go back and change that situation, but we can start out today in a brand new situation. You can start out today with a clean heart, a clean slate. The people that are hearing me right now in this room and those who might hear it by way of podcast, it is the truth. You can be set free. You can be delivered. You can be born again. Born again. Who wouldn't want that? Amen. Who wouldn't say, hey, I'd like to be able to do things differently than what I've done in the past? Amen. Because of the birth of this child, we can be born again. Thank God. Remember our text? Thank God for his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable, beyond our comprehension, beyond anything that our words, even all of the, you know, I just preached for a half an hour here and I can't even begin to touch the surface on what all of this really means in your life and in mine. Wow, what a great God we have. What an awesome creator that he had this plan of bringing you back to himself, bringing you into his kingdom forever and ever to enjoy his presence. He had you in mind. He had me in mind. Before Christ was ever born, he had a plan to redeem us. Now, this precious gift has already been presented. And then it is up to each and every person to be a receiver of the gift. You don't get this salvation by hanging out with other Christians. Because you can rub shoulders with other Christians all day long and you're not going to have this salvation. You don't get this salvation by attending church 52 days out of the year. You don't get this salvation in any other way but through the name of Jesus Christ, through the faith in Him, through repentance of our sins, and through turning unto Him. And when we do that, we can be born again. Hallelujah. We talked about the celebration of Christmas over these last 4 weeks. This is the fourth week. And we've talked about the love of God, the fact that God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would have everlasting life, eternal life, and would not perish. We talked about the joy that Christmas brings, the celebration of joy, that our hearts are filled with joy when we think of the one who is born to die for us. Brings us joy into our hearts, joy into our lives. We talked about the peace that passes all understanding. The Word of God says, let that peace rule your heart. Amen. And we talked today about the fact that all of these things come together as one unspeakable gift. Amen. Let's all stand. An unspeakable gift beyond your comprehension and mine. But God's plan of salvation included you, and it included me.